Let's see, Steve has a really highfalutin title here. He's the director of the Personnel Selection and Training Department at Send International in the U.S. And yeah, Steve and I, we kind of joke, you know, we're brothers from another mother type idea. but Steve has allowed himself to be retooled. Steve grew up on the mission field. I think he came back from Guatemala when you were 16, right? Mm-hmm. Right, Steve? So he grew up as a missionary kid, knows what it's like down there. I don't know if you ate bugs and stuff like that, but you can tell us about that. But I'll let Steve tell you about a little bit about his family. But Steve has served as a pastor for 19 years, and then God retooled him and brought him to Send International. He's also you're the chaplain for the police and fire department in Redford, right? Mm-hmm. As well, this is really cool. I'm really excited about this. This is my buddy Steve, and I hope he doesn't forget me when he becomes rich and famous and all that other good stuff. But he's running for the school board in his area, and you also know that the elections are coming up, and so they've got this ballot, and so there's Trump and Clinton and Steve.
Not for president, I should say, yeah.
But you're basically on the same ballot, aren't you, Steve?
I am. That's my claim to fame.
And yeah. There you go. So anyhow, I'm going to let you hear more from Steve. I just want to quickly pray with him, and then I'll hand it over to him. So dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you and I praise you so much for my brother Steve. And Father, you know what you've laid on his heart. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would just come and move our hearts. Father, give us understanding. I pray, Father, that you'd take the spiritual cotton out of our ears, and Lord, that you would just prepare our hearts to hear what it is that you've laid on Steve's heart. So yeah, God, we just invite you here in Jesus' name.
Well, it is a delight to be here, and everything was going well yesterday. We left the Detroit area, and things were going fine. We came up to Port Huron, crossed the Blue Water Bridge there, and we're sitting in line at customs, and we're probably 20, 25 cars back. There's only two lanes. So we're sitting there kind of patiently thinking through. We had a Tim Hortons, right? Because I speak no French, but I do speak English and Tim Hortons, so I'm okay, right? Right. So everything's going good, and we get up to the booth, and a nice man there, we give him the passports, and he says, "So where are you going?" "We're going to London." "Oh, beautiful city. Nice people there. Where are you going?" "In London." "Well, I get to preach at Byron Community Church." "Oh, lovely church. Nice people. They love God. See, accept Christ personally. They're very nice." "Where are you staying?" "We're staying at Marianne's house and Patrick." And I said, "Patrick?" And the gate came down. Our CMP shows up. I'm like this. "Oh, I'm so sorry." The reality is, the more that we get to know Patrick and Marianne, the more we appreciate Marianne. So, yeah, see, you all know them too, don't you? It is a delight to be here with you. And by God's grace, I have had a pretty wild background. Went to Guatemala when I was 4 years old, and so I grew up in the northwest section of Guatemala, just 8 hours walk from the Mexican border. Loved it. Grew up speaking Canjoba, the Mayan Indian language, and Spanish and English in the home, because Mom and Dad didn't want us to lose our English. But we would have an Indian that would walk into the room, and so we'd all automatically switch into Canjoba. Loved it. Wouldn't trade being a missionary kid for anything in the world. My wife is with me, my wife Michelle, and she has been a faithful partner for 31 years. And we have a great family. I'm a little bit biased, but we have 3 wonderful kids and now one daughter-in-law, I should say. And they live in Boston. Our son and our daughter live in Washington, D.C., and we got to see them last weekend. And so, but it's a wonderful opportunity for me to represent Send in various contexts. It is kind of a delicate balance for us as we look at people who want to be missionaries. And Patrick and I really are kind of compatriots, if you will. We kind of moan and groan about things that are happening. But I was recently visiting at a different mission, and they said that they had someone who came to their candidate school, okay, their orientation program, and they found out something that was a little bit shocking. They found out that this person had been divorced 6 times. Wow. Wow. They also told me another horror story where they thought they had processed them and learned and grown, and this person basically denied the virgin birth. Well, how can that happen? So obviously, that was a quick exit. Thank you, but no thank you, okay, very quickly. But it's a delicate balance for us as we take science and art, and it's both of those, as we process those who want to become missionaries for the cause of Christ. At the border crossing, actually reminded me of one time when we were crossing down, and we drove down through Texas and down through Mexico, and we were at the Mexican-Guatemalan border. And the border officials aren't known for their, what should we say, godliness, okay? They have what we call five-finger discount. You guys have that, where you kind of pick something up and kind of walk away with it? So you watch like an eagle just watching what happened. So I'm in the back, and we're pulling a trailer. And they open up the trailer, and one of the guys, the guards, looks and he says, "Oh, you have a TV. You have a TV. Now you're going to have to pay for that." And I said, no, it's not a TV. And I opened it up. It was a microwave. This is in 1976, right? It was a microwave, and that was a new thing. They had never seen one. "How can that be a TV? There's just empty space inside." "Oh, okay." So they let it go. It's always fun to cross the borders. It is. By God's grace, we made it here safely and went to Stratford, and it was a wonderful time, and thank you for hosting us. We like our comfort zones, don't we? We like our comfort zones. I'm guessing that you probably came in and you sat in the exact same chair that you usually do, didn't you? As a pastor, it was always kind of handy because I could look out, okay, John's probably on vacation because he's not sitting there. And, Joe, he's probably, he's maybe down in the children's department. But we like our comfort zones, don't we? They're not just a little kind of a range on our thermostats, like from 72 to 76. Oh, that's Fahrenheit. Centigrade is, I don't know. But we like our comfort zones. I grew up in Guatemala, yes, and I had started driving because the standards in most third world countries aren't quite the same as here in Canada or the U.S. So I'd been driving. Well, I loved to fish. My parents dropped me off in Indianapolis at my great uncle's house. Uncle Brownie, my favorite uncle. I loved Uncle Brownie, and he had a boat, and I loved to fish. Now, I had grown up learning how to fish like the Guatemalans do. You would take a tin can, and after you used it, you would then take the peeling off, and you would make sure that that inside was nice and smooth, and you would wrap a fishing line around that. You would take a hook and put it on the end of this line, and you would take a nut or you'd take a coin and drill a hole through it. That was your anchor, right? And so you would have this tin can, and you would hold the line, and you would twirl it kind of like the old David and Goliath kind of thing, and you'd throw it out, no long pole to cast, none of that. So that was my concept of fishing. Well, we end up out on this beautiful lake. It's a private lake north of Indianapolis, Indiana. It's a private stocked lake. We had gotten there early because we wanted to catch the bass. And boy, did we catch the bass. And 50 plus fish later, it was a good day. It was a pontoon boat, and it had a grill on the side of it. And so we cooked hamburgers and hot dogs and had fish more than we could imagine. So my uncle says, "Well, Steve, why don't you drive home? I'm 16, a little short for my age. No wisecracks, Patrick. I can barely see over the steering wheel. It's a great big Lincoln Town Car. I'm in way over my head. I'm out of my comfort zone. So, great Uncle Brownie, who's probably mid-70s by now, decides he's going to take a nap while I drive home. Oh, and did I forget to tell you that we're towing the boat because it's the last day of fishing? And we're towing the pontoon boat, and I'm going down I-69 back to their house. No GPS. He just says, when you see Marble Street, turn left. That's all I knew. And here he is snoring next to me. I was in way over my head. I was out of my comfort zone. You get out of your comfort zones? Maybe it's socioeconomic. Maybe it's political. Like Patrick said, my only claim to fame is that now after 8 years, I'm running again for school board. Maybe it's people at work. You only associate with these people, but not those people. God came into this world in the person of Jesus Christ, and he rocked the boat. He didn't allow people to rest in their comfort zones. He didn't allow them to stay fit. Remember Nicodemus? He rocks his world. Zacchaeus, I got a big task for you. He calls out to some fishermen. He says, let everything go and come follow me. And if I'm in their shoes, I say to myself, why? Why would I do that? But this doesn't come out of any kind of vacuum. Jesus Christ himself left his comfort zone. Is it okay to call heaven a comfort zone? Where he's basking in daily, moment by moment, eternal bliss with his Lord, with his Father, with the Holy Spirit. And he gave that all up. The God of heaven would become the man of earth that he might die a sinner's death, even though he didn't deserve it. Don't you think that's a comfort zone? One of my favorite profs at Dallas Seminary was a man by the name of Howard Hendricks. You've probably heard that name. Wonderful man of God, and he had what we called Howieisms. One of my favorites, though, was that you, young seminarians, one of your tasks will do as a pastor is that you are to comfort the afflicted, and you're to afflict the comfortable. I hope I don't step on too many toes this morning. You might never call me back, and that's okay. But based on God's word, I would like to afflict the comfortable today. Not because of who I am, but because of the Lord that I represent. That in this process of God giving up of all of heaven, that he might come to be born of a virgin, die a sinner's death, because of the message that he had. That's my hope and prayer for you today. The reality is that we have a huge task before us. It is not a simple task by any means. One of the privileges of being on staff at the church there in the Detroit area was that 1/3 of our entire church budget went to missions. That was one of the things that really attracted me to that church. Attracted us to it, and we spent almost 20 years there, just shy of 20. But the reality is that each and every one of us comes into this process, and we say to ourselves, well, what is the task before us? Patrick asked if I wanted to have some PowerPoint slides and all of that, and the reality is that I'm not a money guy. There's a reason why I'm not the treasurer of Send International, okay? But I'm going to try and walk through with you some statistics this morning to help it make it a little bit more meaningful. They tell me that there are some 7 billion people in the world. Okay? How many of you are Blue Jays fans? Or is it too early to talk about Blue Jays right now? The Rogers Center, right? It houses 53,506 people. I've never been there, but it looks beautiful. So imagine, help me just kind of visualize this. If we were to take the Rogers Center and fill it to capacity, take an aerial shot, and then everybody leaves, and there's no repeats, OK? Okay, no repeats. 53,000 people. If we did that 130,000 times in a row, that's how many people are in the world. Let me break it down a different way to you by religion. Some 31% are Christian. And if you'll let me use air quotes for Christian, because that's a pretty wide swath. 20% Muslim, 14% Hindu, 10% other religions, 6% Buddhist, 16% no religion at all. Okay? So let's take this audience right here, this congregation. One third of you follow Christ. Well, I'm going to get in trouble here, aren't I? One third of you, let's say, follow Christ. One third of the world population have heard of Christ. Now listen to this. Fully one third of the world's population has never heard the name of Christ. I hope that just grabs you by the throat today. One third of the population of the world doesn't even know that Christ exists. Gail, I loved hearing your opportunity for there in the Amazon. One of my coworkers spent 13 years living on the Amazon River doing that kind of very work. I love it. Let me break it down for you a different way. Every day around the world, 350,000 babies are born. 350,000 babies. Every day, 159 people die. That is 2 people die every second. 2 more, 2 more, 2 more, 2 more, 2 more. And many of those have never heard the name of Christ. We are so fortunate here in North America, aren't we? You can probably turn on a Christian radio station and hear. You can put a CD into your player and listen to gospel music. You can pull up the internet and watch a famous preacher preach the good news of Christ. You can come here to Byron. No fear of reprisal. No worries that the RCMP is going to come in and shut it down. 2 more died. 2 more died. 2 more died. We're in this together. When Patrick called me and asked me to preach here, with a great deal of hesitation, anytime you represent God, it's a scary thought. But what I want to do for you today is I want to take you on a little boxing match. I'm going to do a couple of 5 quick jabs of what God says about what it is that we're supposed to do as believers. 5 commands that he gives, not just to the disciples, but to us. 5 commands that are each and every one of ours to obey. They're not suggestions. Sometimes that would be easier, wouldn't it? There are 5 commands. The first one is this. Come to me. Listen to Matthew 11. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We put it on plaques. I don't know. I didn't see it around here, but maybe it's on the plaque in one of your church walls. Does it belong to believers as a promise? Absolutely. But in the context, it's really for those who don't yet know Christ. It's a salvific verse. It talks about those who've tried everything else. Come to me. You've tried it on your own. Come to me. Come, all you who are just worn out because you've tried to get to heaven on your own. Come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The rest of knowing Christ, of knowing that you're following him, of that your place is secure in heaven based on the blood of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Come to me. Secondly, abide in me. Listen to John chapter 15, verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of its own unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Everything that we do, my preaching, your listening, your service tomorrow, your being a husband, wife, a child, everything we do in the Christian life has to be in connection to Christ. He goes on to say that you can do nothing without me. You know what the Greek word there is? Nothing. Nothing. Zip. Nada. We have to remain connected to Him. He's our source. He's our power. Come to me, yes. Abide in me, but also follow me. You know, just before I get to that, listen to how Eugene Peterson in The Message talks about John 15. Live in me, make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch cannot bear grapes by itself, but only by joining to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you're joined to me. Are you joined to Christ today? Are you joined to Christ on Tuesday morning when you get up and you get in the car and someone cuts you off on 402? Yeah. Follow me. Luke 9:23, Jesus said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Self-denial, humble obedience, laying it at the cross. This is what I want. What do you want? This was my goal. Dear God, what's your desire for me? I want to follow you. I come to you, yes, I abide in you, but I want to follow you in humble obedience to whatever it is that you would have for me on the cross. Finally, D, pray to me. Then Jesus said to his disciple, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech. That's the word ask. That's the word beg. That's the get down on your knees and just cry out to our Lord and Savior, will you provide workers for the harvest? That's our main task as a church, is to ask God that He would provide the workers for the harvest field. Are you involved in that? Are you asking, are you praying to God to provide more people like this gentleman in Brazil who wants to follow Christ up and down the Amazon? Are you praying for that? There aren't enough workers. There aren't enough workers. The church is to ask that He would provide more of those. So what should we do? Do we come? Yes. Do we abide? Yes. Do we follow? Do we pray? And then finally, the Great Commission, as you know it very well. Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. The final step in this process is the going. And as our friend who was leading music today said, indeed, our mission field is all around us as well. I wouldn't pretend to know who's being called to Brazil or to China or to Zimbabwe or to London. But are you willing to follow Him? Have you committed yourself to follow Him and indeed to go for Him? They tell me that Coca-Cola is known by 91% of the world's population. 74% have seen a bottle of Coca-Cola. 51% have actually tasted it. And yet there are billions in the world who have never heard the name of Christ. So you might be asking yourself, so what, Baker? What does that mean to me? How in the world could God use me? The next time you feel like God can't use you, remember, Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. And yes, Lazarus was dead. You don't think God can use you? I promise you, in His economy, He can and will. If you will come to Him, if you will abide in Him, if you will follow Him, if you will pray to Him, and finally, if you will go for Him. Some of you may not need to go to China. Some of you may just need to go across the street and tell the good news of Christ to those who don't yet know Him. Would you bow your hearts and heads with me as we pray? Jesus, thank you for giving up all of glory, taking on human form, to come and live a sinless life, to die a sinner's death, even though you didn't deserve it. That we might have a relationship with you, that we as a church body might have the opportunity to share the good news of Christ with those who don't yet know you. I pray, Father, that you would help us to get out of our comfort zone. You would help us to see what it is that you're doing around the world and how we might be a part of that. Dear Jesus, we love you with all our hearts. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much, Steve, for that challenge to be the church. That's what we are called to be. We are called to be the church wherever He sends us. We have another song to finish off our morning, so I'm going to ask if you'll stand with us.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil while we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst, refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive hearts release, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. Pray, revive this earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray. Unleash your kingdom's power, reaching near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing hearts. You've made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church. We are the hope on earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray.
Our Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the time that we have spent together. Father, we thank you for Steve and for the message that he brought from your heart for us this morning. Father, we pray that we will be diligent to obey the call to go wherever it is that you are sending us. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity we had to have Steve with us, to have other members of Send with us this morning. Father, we pray your blessing upon that mission. And Lord, we also thank you for this time where we focus on all our missionaries. And Father, just pray again that you will remind us to pray for them regularly, to support them through that prayer and also supporting them financially. Lord, we thank you again for this day. We pray that you will be with us now.
Praise God from whom all